All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians this morning. If you would go there with me, I want to thank the Lord for what we experienced last night here in His house. Thank the church for the good accommodations and all that's going on behind the scenes. I appreciate everyone and everything that's being done. And before we get to our text, Paul said in Acts 26, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." And so I just want to bless the Lord this morning that I have obtained help from God. He's helped me thus far. He helped me yesterday. He's helping me today. And if I should see tomorrow, He'll still be there to help me. And He is the God that changes not. Hebrews 13:8, He said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi there, the Bible says, the Lord said, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He's going to keep all His promises to Israel. Amen. And then He's going to keep all His promises to the church as well. That church, which is the body. And I'm so glad I'm part of the body of Christ this morning. So you found your place there. You don't have to stand right now. I want to read a few verses and then we'll give you the thought the Lord's put on my heart this morning. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Let me just begin right there. Here the Bible says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Let me pause and say this. Here it's only mentioned grace and peace. But if you'll read in the personal pastoral epistles to Timothy and Titus, I know it's there. It might be in some of the other epistles. But he says, grace, mercy, and peace. I thought about that, and I probably got this from somebody. I don't know. Don't mean to take it from somebody. But you know what grace is? Grace is keeping us for heaven. Heaven is something, somewhere we do not deserve. But the mercy of God is keeping us this morning from hell. Because hell is absolutely what Benjamin Mark Cooley deserves for all eternity. But then there's peace that keeps me right now while I'm on earth. Amen. Grace keeps us for heaven. Mercy keeps us from hell. And despite all that's going on, peace, the peace of God, is keeping us right now here on earth. Verse number 3, he says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So why don't we go now to chapter 3. I won't deal with chapters 1 and 2, but that's Paul's personal appeal to these believers in Corinth. He is writing, really defending his ministry in this second epistle against probably what was a minority in that church. And he does it in a personal way, chapters 1 and 2. But in chapter 3, he begins to write to them as a pastor would write and speak to the people God put under him. And you find that in Acts 18, God used him to start this church in the city of Corinth. But chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" In other words, Paul said, do I really need to write, or do I really need to ask and get a letter of reference for my sake and send it to you? Well, the answer comes in verse 2. "Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Amen. "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Paul had a testimony that he could point to in Corinth. But he had a trust he could point to. Look at verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I believe Brother Bryant would agree with this. He signs that verse. But I believe if the Apostle Paul would write under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and say that he was absolutely incompetent, inadequate, and insufficient apart from God, I believe we should all line up beside of him and say, so am I, so are we. We're not sufficient of ourselves. It is only of God's power that the work will get done. But not only a trust and a testimony. Verse 6, he said he has a testament he can point to. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul would write to Timothy and he says, preach the word.
Amen.
And I know I'm a young fella, and please don't get sideways with me, fellas, but if God's called you to preach and you're asked to preach up here, then preach the word.
Amen.
The word of the Lord is what's needed this hour. And all days gone by and days ahead, we need to hear from God's word. So Paul said, verse 6, God being the one he's speaking of, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Amen.
So now go, if you would, to chapter 4. I want to read one verse. I quoted this verse last night. Verse 6, he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to give you three thoughts this morning, beginning with this verse, and we'll come back here. But as Paul writes this church, I believe in chapters 3 through chapter 9, he is trying, obviously in the will of God and through the Word of God, to enlist the saints in that ministry of reconciliation. That we have all, Brother Bryant preached about it last night, a call to service, that general call. We have all been enlisted in the ministry of reconciliation. If we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and we who once were enemies are now brought into the atonement, made one with God through Jesus Christ, we're made at one, enemies have become friends, then it is now our, Brother Durden said it last night, it is now our responsibility to see that others hear the message and receive the word of reconciliation. What is that word of reconciliation that all the world needs to hear? I believe you find it in chapter 5 and verse 21 that God hath made Jesus to be sin for us. And he knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the whole world needs to hear that God the Father has made Jesus Christ to be the very sins of the whole world, that those who are unrighteous and ungodly and unsaved can be made the very righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're not telling others about that wonderful message, then we are disobedient to our calling as Christians. So I believe in these chapters 3 through 9, he is seeking to enlist the whole church body in this ministry of reconciliation. And he gives them three things to consider in his life as their once pastor and now an apostle writing back to them. So I want to give you these three things and I want you to consider them this morning. Number one, it was the glory of God that had captivated Paul the apostle. I made reference to the Damascus Road last night. I believe this is what he's referring to. And then Brother Bryant made this very statement. Paul never got over what happened to him on the Damascus Road. Now, we'll come back to that. Go to chapter 6, if you would, verse 1. He says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Amen.
And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So number two, I want you to think about this. Paul would say to these saints that it was the grace of God that had separated him. You see, Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." So Paul would say, don't receive the grace of God in vain. What's that mean, preacher? I believe it is what it means. It means that they were failing to take God's grace for today.
Right.
Verse 2, he talks about the day of salvation, the accepted time. They were not receiving God's grace for right here, for right now. In other words, this crowd wanted the grace of God to save them, but they did not want God's grace to sanctify them. It's good for my eternity. It's good to save my soul from hell, but I just don't think I want His grace to really encroach too deep into my life and get too close into my heart and make my life sanctified, set apart from the world and for the Lord. Now, chapter 9, verse 15. He says, in chapter 7, he begins talking about Titus. Chapters 8 and 9, you find scripture for faith, promise, missions, giving. But verse 15, he says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." It was number three, the gift of God that had motivated him. Why are we here this morning? Because God gave His Son, who gave His life, that we might be redeemed from our sin. The unspeakable gift of God.
Amen.
Chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich."
Amen.
That wonderful gift ought to motivate us. Whether it be in the matter of prayer, in the matter of giving, in the matter of going, we should be completely submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because He was God's gift to this world. And thank God we've received that gift and been transformed and made new creatures. And our whole world has been changed. Our whole eternity has been changed. And our destination is no longer the fiery, flaming pits of hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and outer darkness and separated from the presence of God for all eternity. But for us now is the glories and bliss of heaven.
Amen.
All because God gave His Son. That should motivate us.
Right.
It motivated Paul, and he would say, "Thanks be unto God." At the end of all these verses, when you talk about money and when you talk about giving, at the end of all that, Paul says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Amen. We should never, ever have to pull money out of the hands of God's people.
Amen.
It ought to just flow freely. Because what we have been given, we have received from God Almighty. So back up, if you would, to chapter 4. I want to preach here a little while on this fact, this thought of the glory of God that had captivated him. I think most folks today are infatuated with social media, which is really an infatuation of self most of the time. But what captivates you this morning? What was the thought on your heart when you woke up this morning? Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above. Our heart's affection, that longing. That loving in our heart. Everybody has somebody or something that really has your heart just captivated.
Right.
When nobody else is around and you're not distracted, that's what's on your mind.
Right.
For Paul, it was the glory of God.
Amen.
In the face of Jesus Christ. He never got over that experience when he was converted.
Right.
Chapter 4, verse 1, speaking about this glory, Paul would say that he had received. Verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. I know he's talking about himself and the men, his companions that was with him. But we have received a ministry. Verse 1. As we have received mercy, he says we faint not. So I see what's received, number one. If you're born again this morning, you've received a ministry. In a general way, you are to be an ambassador for Christ. But then beyond that and before that, you know what you received? Mercy. God didn't give you what you deserved. You received mercy. You remember those four lepers? I heard Brother Sennett Blue. You was talking about them last night. I heard Brother Sennett Blue preach about those four lepers in the Old Testament. You remember the invasion and the city was the city of Jerusalem. I believe it was Jerusalem. I might get my story mixed up a little bit. But the children of Israel, they were surrounded. I think it was the Assyrians was trying to besiege the city. And there was a drought and there was a famine inside the city. And there was four lepers said, well, if we sit here, we're going to die. We might as well go down here to the host of the enemy. And maybe they'll save us alive. And God caused it to be that the enemy thought just a host of chariots and horsemen and riders and soldiers was coming. And the whole camp was empty. And those lepers found provision and they started, in so many words, started stuffing their pockets and stuffing their mouths full. And here's pretty much what they said. We do not well if we do not tell. That's what I heard Brother Sennett Ballou said. He said to hoard up all the grace and the glory and the gift of God. No, we've received mercy.
Right.
Don't hoard up that mercy.
Yeah, right.
There's somebody that God will put in your path today that needs to hear that God has mercy to bestow in this day, in this age. And since we've received mercy, he said we faint not. Verse 2, not only what's received, but what's been renounced in this gospel ministry. Now, to renounce something is to deny it. It's to disown it. Let me give you an illustration from my dad's days when he was in Rock of Ages. Brother Ron Geras, they had about 150 preachers come for a prison revival. And Brother Ron Geras had all those preachers gathered in the congregation before they went into the prison to actually meet with the men. Going, so you don't go door to door in the prison, you go cell to cell, you know. And so he had all those preachers sit down there. And here was what he began to say. He said, if you men smoke cigarettes, he said, then hit the road, Jack. He said, if you men use smokeless tobacco, then hit the road, Jack. That was his phrase, hit the road, Jack.
Right.
He said, if you view pornography, then hit the road, Jack. He said, if you speak down to your children and you are abusive to your wife, then hit the road, Jack.
Amen.
He said, we don't have any use for anything like that. As we go cell to cell and seek to bring the glorious gospel of Christ to these sinners who are bound for hell, he said, we need men that have consecrated themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and are willing to set aside all those things and let God be Lord in their life and maintain purity of heart.
Yes.
And the next morning when they went into the prison, Dad said about 30 or 40 preachers was nowhere to be seen. They hit the road. You know why? Verse 2, here's why. In this gospel ministry, Paul said, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Our ministry is in the sight of God, and if we're going to commend ourselves to the consciences of men and see the Spirit of the living God work in the hearts of men, then He needs and He desires and He demands a clean vessel, somebody that will renounce some things and let God truly separate them from this world and sanctify them for Himself, that they can be a vessel unto honor, prepared unto every good work and meet for the Master's use. Verse 3, what's revealed in this gospel, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. First of all, I see the plight of the wicked is revealed in the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is hid to them that are what? Lost. To be lost is to be perishing under the wrath of God. John chapter 3, he said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. The wicked today that are outside Christ, there is a great dark storm cloud, if you will, and it's the wrath of God, and it's hanging over the heads and hearts of all those who are lost and dying without Christ. There is an impending doom, there is an impending destruction, and the gospel is hid to those that are lost. The plight of the wicked. Those who are outside of Christ are doomed for hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. But not only the plight of the wicked, but I see what I want to call the fright of the devil. Verse 4, he says, in whom the God, that's the devil, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Notice this little word, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You know why there's so much resistance? The preacher talked about, brother, my air conditioner was leaking. The pan was full. There was water about to come down my ceiling yesterday.
Yes, sir.
I spent an hour and a half in the attic trying to fix that before we come up here.
Yes, sir.
Missions conference.
Right.
You go out there to go to a missions conference and the vehicle won't start.
Right.
You know why there's so much resistance to the gospel? Because the devil's afraid.
Yep.
Lest. That word means for fear.
He
seeks to keep the minds of the wicked blinded for fear that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine unto them.
Yes, sir.
And let me just go on so I can get this. I want to get this in. Verse number 5. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
So when the gospel is preached, you know what happens? It happened for me in 94. But the light of God begins to shine. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ begins to shine. When you begin to tell men that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you go on to say, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you go on to say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you begin to share the story, the true story that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried and that He rose again, all of a sudden the light of God begins to shine and the darkened mind and the darkened heart of the sinner, there's a revelation that comes in and it's God, the Holy Ghost, He comes flooding in that soul with light and the darkness has to flee and light and understanding comes, and in that moment a sinner can be born again. They can be translated from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the marvelous light of God, and that scares and frightens the devil. Because the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He seeks to keep them blinded. He does it through recreation, religion. There's all sorts of things we could say there. But when the gospel is preached, opportunity is given for souls to be saved. Verse 6, and I'm going to close right here, preacher. Can I take 3 minutes? Is that right? All right. Verse 6, he says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts.
Amen.
For God, who commanded. I see the creating power of God. I believe that's a reference to Genesis 1. In the beginning, what happened? God created the heaven and the earth. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. But you know what happens in verse 3? And God said, let there be light. You know what the next four words are? And there was light. For God who commanded, not only His creating power, but His commanding power. He commanded light to shine out of darkness, and guess what happened? There was light. He goes on to say, this same God who in the beginning created the world, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. That's converting power. Thank God for the day when He shined in our hearts. And when He did this, what did He do? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Three little thoughts about this glory. Paul saw the glory of the risen Christ. On that road to Damascus, seeking to get those Christians and put them to death and put them in prison, when Jesus spoke to him from heaven, He was the risen Christ. Yes, ascended, glorified, seated at the right hand of God the Father, there on the majesty on high, it was the risen Christ. But then, I don't have time to deal with it, but chapter 3, he talks about a veiled glory under the law. But by the end of that chapter, he's talking about a visible glory with the Lord, Jesus. So he saw the glory of the revealed Christ. But then, thank God, he saw the glory of the redeeming Christ. John said, for He is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, we have the answer this morning. And His name is Jesus Christ. He's what the whole wide world needs. Whole worldwide needs. He is the propitiation before God for the sins of the whole world. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 10 declares that name to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The very man Christ Jesus who walked this world as God in the flesh. Thank you, preacher.
Yes, sir. Thank you.